Welcome to the Dad Challenge Podcast. My name's Josh.
My name's Jeff.
And today is the day we talk about things.
Do you think it's weird that I get naked to bathe my dog?
What?
My buddy Sam thinks it's weird.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now I know what you're talking about. So if you didn't know, and you
don't... We can talk about anything on this podcast, and I want to talk about this. I didn't think it was weird, but now I'm thinking it's weird.
Okay, so maybe we'll reach out to some friends and talk to see if this is a thing. But so Jeff, let me get this straight. When you bathe your animal, your dog, he's a big dog. Jeff's got a sheepadoodle.
He's about 80 pounds.
Yeah, he's a thick boy. He's a nice little dog.
And I'm just, in my opinion, you can make a mess bathing a dog. And we have a shower in the basement that has like the removable nozzle that you can hose. If I leave the door open and I'm trying to shower him from outside, it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just strip down, get in, and close
like
the door.
Like straight up naked?
Well, what else am I going to do? I mean, I guess I could wear a suit.
I suppose you could put on like, you know, a pair of, you know, swimming trunks or something.
You know what's funny, dude? I want to tell you what's funny. Ed will jump in a river. He'll jump in a lake without hesitation and be like head under the water, like soaked, chasing sticks. When we go to have a shower, he's like head down, tail between his legs, like really, maybe he's ashamed.
Because why?
Because I'm taking a shower with him.
I think you need, so next time, Sue, you put some swimming trunks on. I'm just trying to imagine like, the whole family's like, dad's flushing the dog and I'm pretty sure he's naked down in the shower with the dog.
I didn't think anything of it. Like, I don't know. It's a dog.
That's hilarious.
Whatever. I don't know. It's funny. Sam was giving me a hard time, so I thought it was...
It's a little weird. I wouldn't judge you for it. I don't judge you for it. I'm like, you know, it's... I understand because you guys are very clean. You guys like a clean house. Getting things messy is not happy for you.
Yeah. I just like...
I don't judge you, but other people will.
There's no joy in it for me, except for the fact that the dog smells good afterwards.
It's true. I don't even bathe our dog. So I should bathe him, but I'm going to just... Put him in the tub and dump buckets of water on him. Actually, I'll just put the power washer out. Put him in the garage. Speaking of power washer, okay. So I got the Tesla. There's some very excited
I
want
to actually talk about that.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about the Tesla.
So,
because I want to know this. You've had a job for a week and you have a Tesla. I've had a job for 18 years and I just got a hand-me-down hot tub today.
We're walking down Jeff's street. This is his old neighbor driving the lawn right on lawnmower with a trailer. 10 people helped us get this thing on the trailer, walking down the street like we're in a parade.
Well, a family of 150 squirrels are jumping out of the hot tub.
Oh my goodness, this is so funny. Yeah, no, you know what? It's because we make different decisions. I make bad decisions. You're generally really good and frugal. For me, the decision was I've always wanted one. So whenever I get something in my head, and I'm an impulse shopper, but not when it comes to a vehicle or like technology.
Okay.
So the reason I justify this is what happened. Okay. So I moved to this city because of the job, because of the job of the church. And we were locked in and we were going to buy a house eventually and everything was going to be awesome. And then obviously, you know, I got fired. And then everything kind of worked out for the best because I got a job that pays me well above what I was getting paid before.
Right.
Amazing pension and benefits. It's really good. And it's, I was on a 6-month contract, but they offered it to me 2.5 months early, which is great, which means I'm doing something that they like.
Yeah, it means you're nailing it.
I'm nailing it. Awesome. So I'm confident that I'm going to have this job. So that's one reason I'm not so worried. Kathy worries more than this. So we just this year got out of debt because we wanted to, and we did it. We sold our house and got out of debt. Now I'm back in debt. But the reason I did this was because, I commute 88 kilometers to work in the morning and then obviously 88 back, and it was costing me $250 a month in gas, even in my hybrid, which isn't terrible. So I was doing some math and the car just cost me $800 a fix. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is going to be a money pit sooner than later.
Right.
I'm going to get a vehicle anyway. I mean, I know I could just get another vehicle and you can get a plug-in hybrid. And I was just doing tons of research. I was actually going to go with the Honda plug-in hybrid. So that gets 1.9 liters per 100 kilometers, which is really good. Yeah. Probably the best in the market for plug-in hybrids, next to the BMW i3, which I also test drove. So these are plug-in hybrids with a battery that lasts about 100, maybe 100 kilometers if you're lucky, and then it kicks over to gas.
Right.
Right? And then I test drove the Ioniq, and I was like, oh, let's do the Ioniq, but it only gets like 170 kilometers on a charge for $45,000. So it's like, no.
Right.
Range is important to me, right? Especially if I'm going long distance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Second thing was work has chargers that are free. So I can charge at work for free, drive home, go back and charge for free. So I basically might not even have to use electricity at my own house, which is ideal.
Because you can go back and forth on one charge?
Easily. I get almost 400 kilometers on a range of my Tesla.
Oh, so you're
I'm good. Laughing. I'm golden. I can go there and back 3 times if I wanted to.
So you never
in the winter, though, it's going to kick my arse. It's probably going to get a half range. So more like, if I'm lucky, 200.
It reduces that much?
Cold kills it.
Cold?
And if it's not plugged in, the battery's trying to keep warm, right? Otherwise it won't work.
Right.
So it burns its energy keeping itself warm. If you keep it plugged in, you're fine, right? At home, I leave in the garage, it's maybe maximum 2 degrees in the winter, even if it's freezing outside. So it's perfect for the, like, we have the space for it in the garage. It's awesome.
Right.
I know we're talking about this a long time. But so I just justified it by saying, look, I'm not paying $250 a month in gas. Kathy now can drive the hybrid everywhere instead of the big, giant, stupid, ugly van. So we're saving gas there too. So we went from paying close to $500 a month in gas to now we're only paying maybe $75 a month in gas.
Oh,
so we're saving a lot. And I did my research. I researched for months and months. And dude, I'm not going to lie to you. That thing drives itself and it's the coolest thing in the world.
You'd use the autopilot when you're on the...
As soon as I took it home, I put it on.
Oh, yeah?
Because I researched...
Only the highway, though, right?
No, you can do it anywhere.
No, but it's got to have lines.
It has to have lines. It has to see lines or it won't. You can do... So the first mode is adaptive cruise control. So you just click adaptive.
Yeah.
And then you steer it. So if the guy stops in front of you, it stops for you. If he accelerates, it'll accelerate. You don't have to put your foot on any pedals.
Oh, wow.
That's cool. Then if you double click it, then it puts it in auto drive. And if you're on a normal road, like that's a rural, like a normal 50 to 60 normal road, it will only go 10 kilometers over the speed limit. It will not go exceed past it.
How does it know?
Because it's all there. It knows the roads. It just does. It's crazy,
awesome.
Dude. So, but if you're on the highway, you can go as fast as you want in autopilot. But it will not. I didn't get the full autopilot, which is $7,000 more.
Oh,
I can get it anytime. So full autopilot.
That's just a software update.
Yeah, it's a software update that costs $7,000, and it has the the fault come to me feature. So it's the Valley feature. You press it, it drives to where you are. It's really cool.
Crazy.
I might do it in the future if I have $8,000 lying around. But if you get full self driving, it'll switch lanes for you. It'll get off the exit for you. It'll do all that stuff. But it won't. It's full self driving is still 2 years out, where you can just put your destination in and it'll drive you there. But that's coming soon.
Wow.
Kathy started school too, right? So I now know that. So we're not saving up for a house because all our extra money goes to her schooling. So I said, you know what? If I'm going to be commuting for 4 years, I want to be happy. I'm like, I love listening to audiobooks. I want to drive something I love. I just decided, plus I'm 40 this month, next month, and I'm like, it's midlife crisis time. So it's time to do something. So
I'm excited for you. That's cool.
And
I just wonder, this is your new job, right? This is like the podcast isn't making bank and you're not telling me?
No, podcast has made $16 over the life of itself.
$16?
Right? We can go get a Slurpee and a scratch
diabetes.
Ticket.
We can get some diabetes.
So that's the story of the Tesla, and I love it. And Elon, the coolest part about this is that Elon Musk is like interested in seeing how it gets better. I
thought you have to call him Uncle Eli now that you have a Tesla. Isn't that how it goes?
I don't know.
You can name your
Tesla Uncle Elon?
That's what they call him.
Okay, cool. I'll do it. But I named my...
Did I say I named Eli? I meant Elon.
I named my Tesla Kit from Knight Rider.
Oh.
So you can name it. Most people name it Tess, which is stupid. Don't do that.
Everybody names it Tess?
I'm on these boards. I'm on the Facebook pages and the Reddit pages for Tesla because these guys love each other. And it's like motorcyclists. If you wave to another Tesla owner, they wave back at you.
Oh, nice.
Because you're part of a club. Hey, you spent too much money too in a car. I just love tech. So my main thing is I love the technology in it. And it's kitted out. Like the base model is the most teched out car I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Like it's unreal how much crap. It has fart mode.
Fart mode. What is that?
You just turn on fart mode when you put your blinker on, farts come out of the speakers. Or you can like press a seat and it'll fart out of that seat.
That's funny.
My kids love it.
That's pretty funny.
Ho 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 mode. If you say ho ho ho, it'll start playing Christmas music.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and there's a fireplace mode. So if you turn the fireplace on, then sexy music comes on like Barry White. I'm not joking.
There's
10 arcade games in there. You can play arcade games.
With the steering wheel, right?
Yep. There's some old Atari games, which are really cool. Then what else? There's another mode called, I'm not sure if it's, whatever it is, a Rainbow Road mode. So if you put it in self-driving, it gives you the Rainbow Road and it plays cowbell, more cowbell, like from Saturday Night Live skit. With Will Ferrell. It's really
cool.
There's just cool stuff that doesn't need to be, but it's...
Yeah.
And it has LTE, like it has its own SIM card, and it's free for now. I don't know how long it's going to be free, but my car gets StreamYak. I was supercharging the other day watching Breaking Bad while I was supercharging.
Nice.
I loved it. I love this car. I love it. So that's the story of the Tesla. It's great.
Nice.
But yeah, you got your hot tub today. We're excited about it or what?
Well, I'm a little bit excited. I feel like it's... A little bit overshadowed by your amazing Tesla. This I'm not sure how long this hot tub's been sitting in Rudy and Judy's backyard, but
I'm a little jealous to get a free hot tub. Like, we went and picked it up today. It's a little green, but that's cool. This thing fits probably eight people. it's deep. It's huge.
It's deep, which I like.
And Jeff's really handy, so he can fix things really easily. And so I'm gonna help you. You're gonna reinsulate it.
Thing fixed up.
It's gonna be sick.
I'm gonna put in some measures to keep squirrels out because I'm not a big fan.
Jeff hates squirrels.
I hate them. I love animals, but I hate squirrels' guts. I don't think they're animals. They're demons with fluffy tails.
Fluffy tail demons.
So. Yeah, so I think we'll get it fixed up, and yeah, it'll be awesome. The kids
will love
it, right?
We should podcast from the hot tub one night just to see what it's like. I know there'll be some bubbly sounds. It'll sound cool. There'll be some nice ambience, and we'll podcast from the hot tub. Maybe like once a month or something, we'll do hot tub podcasting.
Hot tub podcast. I like it.
We'll talk about sexy things, like showering your dog naked.
Yeah, we'll talk all sexy. Though we should podcast with Dr. Kirk from the hot tub.
I agree. And maybe we'll see if he has one or he can get to one.
He can get in a hot tub.
I think. Or bring him down here.
Yeah.
Or we'll go out there. Hey, Jeff, do you have a dad joke for us today?
I do.
Let's hear it.
So it's autumn time. So I want to know, did you hear about the tree that deserted the forest at the end of the fall?
No.
He was absent without leaves. So these jokes are terrible.
Where'd you find that? Where do you even come across
the interweb?
The interweb.
Okay, here's another one. This one's all right. Let's do it. What do you use to mend a jack-o'-lantern?
What?
Pumpkin patch, stupid.
Obviously.
That's a pumpkin
patch. I went to the pumpkin patch today with the kids. Oh, I got some would you rathers. You want some would you rathers?
Well, we usually start with those.
Let's do would you rathers. In the spirit of Thanksgiving, what would you rather be on death row for a crime you didn't commit, and the most important person in your life is free, but they committed the crime?
Oh.
Right? So your wife, who's the most important person in your life probably.
Yeah, but she committed a crime for death
row. She committed
the
crime that's going to get you on death row. Would you take the fall for it to save her life? Right?
Okay, Trish, I love you, number one.
I can see you just like, oh, your face crooked.
Well, because, but for, I'll tell you what initially came to mind.
Okay.
Borat.
Why?
I get a new wife. No, well, Trish, I love you, and I hope you could take that as a joke, but like, I mean, she committed a crime that deserves death row, and I got to go for it. I guess it would depend on what the reasoning was. If it's
maybe
just because she went psycho.
Maybe she was.
If she was like avenging
the kids.
Maybe then, for sure. If it was like something to do with like my kids.
Yeah.
And she, for sure. Okay. I would go. But if it was just because she went crazy.
No, you're right. I agree. If my wife killed somebody and just I found out she was a serial killer, like a Breaking Bad. I've been watching Breaking Bad again, by the way. Yeah. If I found out she was doing something like that, I probably would not take the fall for her. No, I wouldn't.
Yeah. Because what are you going to do? You're going to leave your kids then to be taken care of by the crazy person who's like murdering people, and you're going to go away for the one crime that she got caught for? Yeah, I don't know.
That's
man.
A hard one,
that's
though, right?
That's crazy.
All right. I don't know why this one's here. Would you rather be a strawberry with human thoughts or a human with strawberry thoughts?
Okay, it's dumb.
Okay.
It's funny though, but it's dumb.
Okay, one more time.
These chairs are stupid squeaky. I know. Has anybody reached out to us about the providing us with chairs?
Nobody's providing us with chairs.
Okay, thanks for no chairs.
Ooh. Oh, here's a really good one actually, because this is good. Would you rather speak every language fluently or play every instrument perfectly?
Oh, wow. That's a good one.
That is a good one. Ooh. You'd make way more money speaking fluent languages.
You think?
Yeah. Because you know how much interpreters make?
I used to
work for simultaneous interpreters. Okay. They make $150 an hour. They make a lot. Some of them make more.
I didn't even go there in my mind. All I was thinking was, if you're traveling, how much more comfortable would you be if you could speak the language fluently?
That's true.
That's all I was thinking. And I like to travel.
Man, would it be cool to play every instrument? Although you could make a lot of money if you played every instrument perfectly too, because then you could literally be never ending with anything you wanted to do.
Right.
There's a band you might know. They are called Five for Fighting.
Yeah.
One guy does all the instruments and he's really good at it.
Really?
A lot of people do that actually.
I didn't know that.
Anyway, that was a good one.
I would go languages.
Yeah, that's me too. Lots of money.
You know what I'm bringing back right now?
What?
Today is October the 20th, and I'm giving you the national days of the...
Oh, we're bringing it back for a... I'm just throwing it in.
Yeah.
If it's because, a good one, why not?
You know why? Because I thought, I want to see what they are, and they're ridiculous as always, and I just want to say...
What's today's?
So, there's three. I don't know why there's always more than one, but there is. National Bittersweet Chocolate. You'd think... Wait. You're laughing because you think it's over?
Yeah.
Nope. It's National Bittersweet Chocolate with Almonds Day.
Oh, of course.
Why... Is
these chocolate
so
companies
specific.
In there. It's so stupid.
But I love almonds and I love chocolate, but don't put bittersweet chocolate. That's gross.
Ew.
Yeah.
Don't. I don't like it. Nasty.
Here's another super specific one. National Brandied Fruit Day.
Brandied Fruit Day.
You don't even know what brandy is?
I don't understand. Like, how does this get on a calendar? Who's saying this and then it's like, yep, put it in the calendar. Who creates national calendars?
There is a website that's called National Calendar Day.
Yeah, but again, where did they get that from? Who said, where did someone just say one day, today is going to be the national blah, blah, blah day? Do you call, you have to reach out to your MP?
Yeah,
how
do
the
lobby?
Hell do you get this? Who do you lobby to get that done?
And what, how did the brandied fruit community get a day? Who eats brandied fruit?
We're doing Dad Challenge Podcast Day.
Yeah.
And we're just going to figure out the challenge is how do we get this to become a national day? Let's do it. And it's going to be what day? What day do you want it to be on?
I don't care. Whichever day makes the most money.
Okay. Christmas Day. National.
Christmas. I don't think we can have Christmas.
December 23rd, we're going to go with. So it's going to be Dad Challenge Podcast Day, Christmas Eve, then Christmas. Bank. So let's push it. We're going to find
it. Bank? You don't think it's going to get overshadowed? It's like having your birthday on or around Christmas?
Not necessarily, because everybody's all excited about the holidays. I can't tell you how excited I get when Christmases start rolling.
Me too. I love it.
Christmas music. We're doing November 12th. We're doing November 12th. We're starting November 12th with all the Christmas decorations and stuff this year. Earliest we've ever done it on record in the Barber family.
That's actually good. I'm glad you said November 12th. I like that.
We want to honor the vets. You know, that's important to us. So that day after we're starting it, I'm so excited. So people already in cheery season. We're going to be doing some good podcasts close to Christmas because that's what we do.
Okay.
We're going to talk about gifts. We're going to talk about gifts of the flesh for Christmas.
Mm.
What kind of laundry to buy your wife?
We talked about that today with Trish.
Yes, we did.
And I talked to her about it later. And she said no gifts. She says no gifts every year. And I always tell her she ruins Christmas because she never wants to do gifts. But I know what gifts I want.
I know what gifts you want.
They're cheap.
They're free, but there's a little sweat equity that goes into it.
Yeah, but what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
How much sweat equity? Oh, that reminds me. I got an update for you.
Okay.
You want a trim update?
What kind of trim?
Trim in my house. Baseboard.
Oh, you finished it?
Nope.
Nope. So what's the update?
What? I've got three rooms done. So
you wait to tell me come back when it's all done. I got an update, everybody. You'd finish? Hey, No.
Is that an update?
Don't go so far. Chill. Chill with the all done thing.
So I got three rooms done. And my lovely wife was the one who kind of, like, she was pressuring me before, and she actually said something that made sense. And I had to admit, you know what? You're right. She said, do one room at a time.
Yeah.
She said, therefore, it's not overwhelming, which I agree. And I want to do it right. So I'm like, it's meticulous. Like, I'm painting them out because, here we go. This is going to be nerding out, but like when you caulk a line on trim, if you do not paint that caulking, all of the dust like sticks it. It's like a magnet.
Yep.
So because the caulking goes up the wall somewhat when you caulk, in my opinion, you need to paint that out.
Yep.
So therefore your trim paint goes onto the wall. Yep. So I did that. And then when it all dried, I taped the top of the trim. And then I went back and I painted the wall again.
Yeah, so it looks perfect.
So it looks perfect. So that's why it's taking me so long. But that's why it was so overwhelming. I'm like, I don't want to do this whole
thing. It's almost like there's too much work and you're just like, I'm just not doing it.
Yeah, so she said one room at a time. I've done three rooms, two of the biggest ones and a bathroom. And you know the funny thing about it? That stupid powder room was more of a nightmare than the big rooms because it was so little.
Yeah, it's you're a big guy in a little space.
Yeah, it's terrible.
You should just get naked and do it.
And after one of those rooms, there was a gift given, which I was super happy about.
Each room should be a gift of its own.
Well, I thought that actually, because I'm like, oh, that was good. I'm going to do another room. And then it didn't happen again. So I need to recreate whatever.
whatever series of events led.
Yes. And I want to ask. So Trish, if you're listening, I'm not sure what series of events led to.
I'm starting to get to that level too, where I'm like, what's happening right now that this is going on right now? What did I do?
Yeah.
What was the other one I did the other day? Honestly, just... I know we're going to get a little bit marriage stock here. Just, I don't make out anymore rarely. I don't, like when you're a teenager, you know when you're making out when you're dating? Making out was like the thing, right?
Yeah.
Except you get it, you know,
Yeah.
You know, we don't, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Making out is good. But when you're married, you don't, it's like, what are you making up for? Like, you're just going to, I was like, but.
That, I still like kissing though.
I'm not a huge like fan. Much, eh? I like it. But anyway, so I just did it. And it was like, it was, just do this. So here's a challenge to the dads listening out there right now. If you're listening, think about this week. Go home to your wife and just literally take her like you're a teenager and just make out with her up against the wall for like a minute or two. Just see what happens. Just make sure everything's all good. Make sure you're not in a fight or anything. Make sure it's not something you owe her. And just like take her aside and just give her a, just plant one on her. See what happens. And then to Texas, see what happens. What else are we talking about? You got a list. Jessica's little piece of paper.
I wrote a piece of paper because I wanted to be prepared. So I gave you the trim update.
Yeah.
You know what? You know, you want to know something we forgot the what? Last, we came back, right?
Yeah.
I actually feel slightly bad about it, except for the fact that he's not reaching out to us. We forgot to mention Chris.
Did we met? We missed it, man.
Yeah, well, we did sort of.
We didn't say his name once?
I don't think so.
That's a fail on our part.
It is, but at the same time, Chris Pratt, you kind of deserved it. Because
yeah, man. What's going on?
Get over here. But I want to say, they got this new Disney movie coming out on March 4th, 2020. It's called Onward. It's like, I don't know, some like elf ear type things. And he's in it with Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Did you?
Oh, no, I've heard about that. Yeah.
So it's great. Disney movies are great. And I mean, the fact that Pratt and Tom Holland are in it is going to be awesome.
It's
going to
be amazing. Yep.
But the two of them, they've got a video clip of them watching the trailer. And I'm sorry, I fell in love with that guy again. I want to make out with him
Chris Pratt
for 2 minutes. Yeah.
I make out with Chris Pratt.
That dude, he just seems so genuine to me. And I don't know if he's just like an amazing actor, but he's watching this thing. He's like a five-year-old kid so excited for this. And I'm like, I love that. It's like so endearing to me.
I think he's genuine. And here's why.
I do too.
Comedians generally grow up, and we're funny guys. And I'm not saying we're as funny as Chris Pratt. No. But I grew up, and I know that I'm a pretty funny guy because people have told me funny. People probably told you the same thing. And I like being the funny guy.
Yeah.
People, if you're a nice funny guy, I find that those are the people that get the most love. I don't know what it is. I think he's genuine because I think in the real world, if you even see his outtakes and you hear about other actors, especially from Parks and Recreation, talking about him, everybody loves him.
He's just
people in Hollywood who have long careers, generally, I'm not saying they all do, like the most love, like Robert Downey Jr. I heard people like, some people don't, but there's people that you hear in Hollywood that they're just people, everybody loves them. And so they just get work because everybody loves them.
Yeah.
I think Samuel L. Jackson is probably a super nice guy.
Okay.
I feel like he gets more work than anybody else just because people just want him around.
And that's
I've heard that about a lot of actors.
And that's what's going for The Rock too, right?
The Rock is the same way.
He like preaches be a nice dude.
He is like, The Rock is like the epitome of saying something nice about someone before you enter a conversation leaving. Everybody loves him and he loves everybody. He props you up. Even people who hate on him, he just like doesn't care. He's not, he could punch someone through to space, but he never would. The Rock is a nice guy. I think Chris Pratt and The Rock should be in a movie together.
Oh.
I'm like, let's make that happen.
That might be the end of us.
Or do a podcast.
We just explode.
But yeah, you're right. I'm excited for anything Chris Pratt.
Watch him and Tom Holland. It's on Instagram. Like, okay. Just go back in his feed. It's like four or five back. Like, the two of them watching it, I don't even know. I mean, I know it's edited, but I love it. Like, I'm like, I have like a smile ear to ear watching it. I just love it.
Well, and Tom Holland's apparently that type of guy too. Everybody likes Tom Holland.
I agree.
He's
great.
He is who he is in that movie. Like, as he is the character he plays in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Apparently that's who he is in real life.
That's cool.
And so I love Tom Holland too. So, but let's talk about movies.
Ooh, we're talking about movies.
Oh, dude, Joker.
I can't believe you went without me.
Here's why.
You hurt my heart.
So the week before we left, we couldn't make it happen. Then I traveled for a week.
Yeah.
And I was bored because I was out in the country.
I get it.
And I had to go see it.
Such a good movie.
Who'd you go with?
I went with my brother-in-law.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good. And it was, okay, you ever seen The Office?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which remember, one? Both?
Scott's Tots. The American version.
So the Office, version.
There's an episode called Scott's Tots.
Okay, I don't know. Where I don't
Michael
know that well.
Promises these kids college educations or whatever.
Okay.
It's the cringiest episode. You can't watch Scott's Tots more than once.
Oh.
Watch Scott's Tots. Come back to me next week and tell me what you think. It's so cringy that you can't even watch it. You ever get those moments? There were moments in Joker I was so cringed.
Yeah,
So spoiler alert, if you haven't seen The Joker, skip 30, 40, 50 seconds right now, okay?
It's going to be longer than that probably.
So yeah, skip this whole thing, like 2 minutes. When he was up on stage doing
his stand-up?
The stand-up, I cringed so hard.
For sure, and you're supposed to.
I know, and he did it well.
He's socially awkward.
I still get that, I have a physical reaction to cringe.
I believe, I did
and
too.
And that was happened there. But I thought, oh, the people are just being nice to him because in the world, but I think it was in the 70s, right? Yeah. This was taking place in the 70s. People weren't like, if he were a person with mental health today on stage, people would be like, yeah, he'd go viral, right? Because he's like, back then it wouldn't have happened. Right. So I thought this is a little bit of a weird disconnect, but then we found out what happened in the end, right?
Yes.
That he, you know, what happened. That movie was so well done.
It was very good.
Like, holy smokes.
And it's not what you think. Like, I think everybody thinks it's going to be an action movie, maybe. It's not, man. It is a warning to me, that's what it was, of what could transpire.
Yep.
Yeah. If
mental health goes unchecked.
If mental health goes unchecked and if it's pressured and bullied and becomes then becomes glorified, because that is what happened, right? Like it was, the media took a hold of it.
Yep.
So interesting, I watched an interview with Joaquin
Phoenix.
Yeah. So I watched an interview with him, which he's actually a little bit weird in interviews.
He's a weirdo. That's why he's so good for this role.
I liked him, but it was weird. I felt the interview was slightly awkward. But one thing I did appreciate that he said, the interviewer wanted to talk about how people are blowing this up, right? Saying, oh, things are going to happen because of this movie. It glorifies
incels.
It.
It's going to be incels.
Yeah. But he said actually that he's done research and has some very strong feelings about that. But he would not talk to him on camera because he said he didn't want to feed that.
Yep.
So I thought that was actually cool. Pretty interesting. And he goes, I'll talk to you about this in depth if you want to off camera. He goes, because I have a lot of opinions and he's very passionate about it.
Yeah.
But he said he didn't want to feed it. And the interesting thing about that, I actually watched that interview before the movie. And then when you go to the movie, it's like, huh, interesting, because in the movie that Arthur's character got fed by the media.
Yep. Yep. And so the narrative that they're pushing is that this is going to feed incels. And incels are these guys who are involuntary celibates. If you haven't known what an incel is, take it out, because it's a creepy subculture that we have of these men who are involuntary celibate. They don't want to be celibate. They're involuntary, meaning that they can't find someone to have sex with.
That psycho that...
It's crazy.
Like, did the van thing a year, what was it, a year
in Toronto,
or two ago?
Yeah.
It's psycho.
It's just like, there's a subculture and they're like, oh, you're feeding the incel subculture. But the Joker was more about, for me, I think, more about... mental health left unchecked, being made fun of, being bullied. You're right. There's just no way around it.
Yeah.
And it was a
series of events that
it's so sad.
It was sad. And you do get some empathy for this character who, I mean, they
this
did a good
big
job.
Switch to in movies right now, especially superheroes, you're going to see it switch now from the good guys like Avengers to like things like Brightburn and the Joker.
Still haven't watched that yet.
You haven't seen Brightburn. Oh, well, dude. Well, you're going
to
see the switch.
I don't know
where
to get it.
Well, oh, I'll get it for you.
Okay.
Brightburn, you're looking at the boys. You're going to start seeing this anti-superhero big thing push. You're going to want to see the bad guys win. Like, look at, like, the most interesting...
I don't know if the boys leaves you wanting to see the bad boys win.
No, but it like, just... or seeing the dark side of superhero stuff, right? You're seeing, I'm glad they make a R-rated Joker. I'm glad they're going to make R-rated movies now, because I think that's where it gets grimy. Where it should, in the real world, that's what it would be like.
Yes, I agree with that.
They don't wear tights. I don't think in the real, if we had superheroes in our world now today, they wouldn't be wearing tights and capes and all that stuff. They would just be like regular people.
Yeah.
I just don't see it that way. So I'm loving this switch towards things. But the thing that really offset me from the Joker was that in the origin story, the Joker and Batman are almost the same age, generally.
Yeah.
But he's like 30 years older than Batman.
Right.
So when Batman comes up to being Batman, by the time he's in his 30s, the Joker would be like 70 or 80.
Right.
So I just don't see how that's going to work. Unless Arthur in the movie is probably closer to 40. Even still, Batman was only, 11? Or Bruce Wayne was only 11? It's going to be a weird disconnect if they keep it going. I don't know what they're going to do. But otherwise, 8.5 New Balance out of 10. It was just, some moments I had to put my eyes to the ground. I couldn't watch. It was so cringy.
Yeah.
It was cringy, dude. But
great acting. I quite enjoyed it. Yeah, it was good. For sure.
And another update on the new Batman coming out with what's his face from Twilight, who's going to be Batman.
Okay, wait a second. There's a new Batman?
Pattinson.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, Robert Pattinson.
Why are they doing that? Did no one see the Dark Knight movies?
I'm just saying they got to keep going because it's going to make the money no matter what. It'll make the money even if it sucks. It will. But here, Robert Pattinson from Twilight is going to be the new Batman. People were upset, but now they're starting to give him a little leeway.
I don't know
who
he is, and I don't know what Twilight is. So
you do so.
No.
Okay, whatever. But what was going to happen, Jonah Hill was actually supposed to play the Joker.
Okay.
But the other guy, I forget the guy's name who got the new Joker role, because Jonah Hill didn't take it or whatever happened, but I forget his name, but he was in Little Miss Sunshine as the brother.
Yeah.
He's a really good actor. He's really, really good, and I think he's going to be up there with the top three Jokers.
Well, because
it's
going to
be, easily it's going to be Joaquin's number two.
Heath's number one.
It's never going to change. Joaquin was good, but Heath was good for that genre. They're almost equal on different ways.
I would agree. But Joaquin wasn't playing a full-fledged Joker yet. Yeah, he was playing the birth of, right?
He was playing the origin story, which was amazing.
Which was great.
But if you even look at the Batman Dark Knight, the Joker's the same age as him. That's why, again, it's going to be weird to see how this plays out.
Yeah, I wonder why they chose to
do that. I don't know how they're going to do that. Nah. But I get it. But this new guy, I don't forget his name, but when you see him, you're going to be like, yeah, it's a good choice for the Joker. Okay. I'm excited about the future of the Batman series. It's going to be good. I don't know what MCU is going to come out with next, but Spider-Man's back into the MCU. Remember we talked about it last week?
Yeah.
He was out, now they're back. Tom Holland said, we're back. So Sony and Disney made an agreement. I don't know what it is, but he's back. Because they knew they had to.
That is a good thing.
It's a good thing for everybody. I would like to
say it was probably because of what we said.
Yep. They must have been listening. Disney, if you're listening.
So everyone, you're welcome.
We're basically the reason Tom Holland's back in the MCU.
Yeah.
So we'll take credit. I'll take credit for that.
Sure.
Sure.
Tom, if you want to come on and talk about it, door's open.
It's always, we're here for you.
Bring that Chris Pratt guy if you want.
He's okay, I guess. Let's get into hot topics.
Okay. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's the election in Canada.
Go to the polls.
I already went to vote. You went? You early? Where do we vote right
now? I work. You know what? So I'm going to say this because this is slightly embarrassing because I want to vote because I think if you're going to complain about stuff, you should.
Yep.
And so you should be educated. I had to work last election and I missed the advance polls. So I didn't get to vote because I had to work. And like, I don't work in my riding, so I can't leave to vote.
Yep.
So I felt dumb about that. So I wanted to make sure that didn't happen. So yeah, I voted the advance polls.
Good for you.
So it's done.
Obviously voted green.
Are we supposed to talk about that stuff?
No.
I don't know, man. I also watched the leaders debate, which made me angry and made me want to vote instantly because they bug me. Did you watch it?
No.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't have time for it.
I can't take this, man.
Canadian politics is so lame sauce. It's like kiddie politics compared to the US politics.
I guess, but I hate political speak. I hate when you say something but say nothing. It's
actually a gift.
That is more cringy to me than the Joker standing on the stage trying to do his stand-up because it is, I hate it.
That's why Trump is so successful. He doesn't do that stuff.
I thought that on the car ride over here while your neighbors were pulling out in front of me. I thought to myself, yes, I think there is something to that.
Yep.
Even though he's crazy and he says like some dumb things, at least he's not doing this political speech.
He is literally saying what's on his mind at all times. People hate it. And sure, maybe he does some dumb. You're right. Yes. But this is what's different about Trump. And this is why he's changing the face of politics. Canada's going to take 10 years to catch up to this. The next, look at Rashida, what's her face, Tlaib or whatever in the U.S., telling Trump he's a mother effer. You can say whatever you want now. If you would have said that 10 years ago, you would literally be like out to hang out to dry in politics.
Yeah.
You say whatever you want. Trump has changed the game, but Canadians are still like, they think we're still not paying attention, and maybe we're not. But you're right. It is a gift, though, to answer something without answering something.
Yeah. It's not, though. Like, I don't understand how Canadians don't see through it.
They do.
Well,
this
I
is
hope
why
so.
People are so pissed about
but
this election.
So why do people still think that there is only two choices? It's either conservative or liberal, and if you're not voting for one or the other, you're voting for the one you don't want.
Throwing your vote away.
So basically, you're not voting for who you want anymore. You are voting for who you don't want by voting for the one you think is the only one that can beat him. Which
liberals
is
and conservatives
crazy.
Want you to think that. That's the problem.
They do, but I think people think it.
They do think it, and they want to keep it that
way. Why? Why when you watch these two morons?
Because it's
going
to take two election cycles for it to be actually effective. Because you're going to have to see the NDP or Green Party. You're going to have to see that come up by 30% to a real degree. Then they'll win the next one. If you keep the narrative, I'm just going to throw my vote away.
That's what I told my
kids.
I told my kids that. My kids were like bugging me. They're like, what are you going to vote? And I try to have conversations with them and say why. And I said, if you believe that, because Ty actually is like talking politics in school and stuff like that. And he says, oh, well, you know, you can't do that. And I said, if everybody believes that, change will never happen. Like it won't.
They want you to. This is exactly what they want.
But why are grown adults still buying this narrative?
Because the media wants you to know. The media still runs the show. They still tell you what you want. And I'm surprised that the conservatives are making a big boost. They are considering the media. Well, Trudeau, you know, for whatever he did, the blackface, everything, he did it to himself. There's nothing. He just wasn't ready for this job.
Okay. Should we even talk about that? Like,
I don't know, and here's why I've changed a little bit of what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I used to be through, I find myself in the middle a lot more than I used to be. Okay. I really do. But now that I work for the way I work, where it's just a union, I'm more pro union than I've ever been before, because now I understand how they work.
Right.
Now I understand the benefits to their members that happen. I'm not just spouting it because I work there. I'm actually doing research. I'm realizing, holy cow, there are people that want unions gone because they don't want to pay you less. They want to not have to go through all these hoops and do these things.
Right.
And the only government really that is going to help unions in Canada is NDP or the Liberal. It's only way it's going to happen.
Right.
So you've got all these union heads. If you think about the amount of numbers of unions in the hundreds of thousands in Ontario specifically, I mean, over Canada, way more than that, okay? If they collectively pulled their power, they can sway a massive point of the election.
Sure.
And no person who's a member of a union higher up is going to vote for a conservative because they know that they're going to be anti-union.
Right.
But that has changed. I'm watching the Facebook pages and people are like, they don't care anymore. They don't care. Something happened. Something has switched. And the only way NDP and Green is going to get in is if people just, for whatever reason, just say, fine, it might be a throwaway vote, but I'm going to do it anyway because we need to make a statement. And then they'll win the next route. They will. They'll win the next one. Mm-hmm. That's the only way it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But this election is getting, like, again, I say kiddie politics because it's really not, like, I saw a meme the other day about, like, people trying to dig up dirt on Andrew Scheer, and they're just like, pretty sure he ate glue in grade two. They can't find anything that's really worth sticking to this guy, like Trudeau. Yeah. Blackface more than three times. Groping incident, SNC-Lavalin, all these big major ones. And
the SNC-Lavalin one I get. That's recent. The other stuff,
the blackface, it's the only reason it's such a big deal. Imagine Scheer. Imagine they found pictures of Scheer with it.
Right.
It would be crazy.
I get it. And
because he's a social media, social justice warrior.
For sure.
He is not sticking to what he thinks. That's why it's a big deal. People hate hypocrites. I will always say it to the end of time.
Yeah.
Everybody hates hypocrites.
But can we agree that people change?
Yes, we can.
I as much as I'm not a huge Trudeau fan, I don't necessarily think that he's racist.
I would absolutely never say that Trudeau is racist. Okay, I don't think he is.
So you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, I get that he did something dumb. Get it. And it was however many years ago. And I'm not saying that that's an excuse, but for that to be the conservatives' home run for why they should win an election, that seems insane to me.
Yeah.
Because everybody's done something dumb. And I'm not saying, like, please, please, whoever's listening, I'm not excusing Trudeau for doing that. Mistake. Get it. But I don't think the dude's a racist. And I think that even if he was, I think he's gone full circle then. Like, let's say worst case scenario, he was.
Yeah.
And that's why he did it. He's come full circle, because I do believe that he wants to treat most people equal.
Or most people who are not Christian and stuff, they want them to be. I know what you're saying. He is absolutely a social justice warrior. He's a feminist.
And he wants to be. I think he's genuine about it. I think that's.
I agree with you on that. But the problem is that he is the guy that spouts all that stuff. People kind and everything else and blah, blah, blah. And then comes out with this. And it's just like, we get it. Yeah. You can't. That's a mess up. It's beyond.
For
it's
sure.
Especially in politics.
So what you're saying is he should have said, hey, by the way, I did this.
He should have. Apparently they pushed it out. There's a bunch of stories. And then there's a story that they're not allowed to release because they put an injunction on it about something when he was in school. I don't even know what it is. But
to me, it's the SNC-Lavalin stuff. I mean, the guy's lying.
Yeah.
So therefore, I don't trust
There's no such thing as a politician doesn't lie, though. So this is the problem.
Frustrating,
Canadian politics. Andrew Scheer is very vanilla. I don't think he's going to do anything crazy or whatever. I don't think he's going to like.
It doesn't answer a question, I'll tell you that much.
Exactly. Then that's what bugs a lot of people. But,
but you know what?
But Andrew Scheer is safer. If you think about for budgets and things like that, conservatives are always safer. Liberals spend because they want everybody to have everything and welfare and everything else.
Yeah,
it's where the vote's going to swing this time is not going to be about on blackface or the scandals. It's literally going to be about people's wallets.
It's about money.
It always has been and always will be.
So what do you think about that? Do you not think it's a shame that all we care about is how much money is going to stay in your pocket? Is that what politics always come down to?
It's a shame. You're right, but here in the end, here's the thing in Canada, and this really bothers me. I mean, I am taxed at almost 40%.
Mm-hmm.
It is crazy how much tax comes off my paycheck. If you consider yourself against, like, when I almost took the job in Florida, I would have went down there. There's no state taxes. It's like your paycheck is basically your paycheck.
But you have to pay for everything else.
You do. You have to pay for private health care.
Everybody wants things for free, but then don't want to be the one that has to pay for it.
And I'm happy to be in a socialized, I say that loosely, culture where I can go to the hospital. And I can get things fixed.
Right.
And I can, you know, but it's not perfect. I'm just saying, that's not going to change in our lifetime, I don't think. They're not going to go to privatized healthcare. It's not going to happen here. But I think that it's about, people are saying, you know, I bought the electric car. I didn't buy the electric car because I'm, you know, I think the environment needs it. That's the last thing that was on my mind. I just like that it's super fast and it's cool. But the side effect of this movement, the one thing that I think that's not going to fly right now that's not helping Trudeau is this big climate crisis thing. Everybody, like, and let's talk about Greta Thunberg for a second. We're going to switch over to the hot topic. Greta is touring the world, and she's like, there's so many sneaky little things going on in the back. Her handlers and people that are paying her to do this are connected to like the Liberal Party, and like, it's all networked into this craziness. And it's like, Greta, and everybody's like, well, what's good about Greta? What is she doing? She's tapped into this vein of whatever. How dare you? What gets me the most, and I'm not saying that it's not a climate thing. I don't think it's going to be 12 years and this planet's going to explode. Not even close. They said that when they came out with what's-his-face came out with Inconvenient Truth. He said 10 years. Ice caps are gone in 10 years. They're bigger now than they were 10 years ago. That ice caps have grown since what he was... If you look at...
Where are you getting that information?
Watch The Inconvenient Truth, and then watch the YouTube video talks about what he... Takes all his points and talks about where it is now. He said in 10 years, the ice caps would be gone. Literally gone.
But they're not getting bigger.
They got bigger.
Oh.
Look it up.
Where's this information
specifically
come from?
What he was talking about, this one ice cap area, what he was saying. He says that they're going to be gone in 10 years, and they are not even close, and they're or have grown. Anyway... I could be wrong about it. Fact check it. I'm just saying they're not gone. And everybody, and like AOC, so, and the Green New Deal, are saying 12 years is all we have left. And Greta's sitting up there saying, how dare you steal my childhood? She's 16, by the way. She's 2 years from an adult. What happened to her childhood? Where's her child? What happened in this world right now? With even if there is a climate emergency, how did that ruin her childhood?
Okay.
It's just speeches that's been written for her.
Okay.
And she's like talking about like,
I just hate, I gotta, using that and using, so the world might not blow up in 12 years, doesn't change the fact that we're not treating the environment properly.
I agree.
And that's what I hate. I hate that it's either, you're either crazy. Here we go again with fringes.
Yeah, fringes. You're always
either,
fringes.
You're either crazy and you think that the world's going to end in 12 years, or the other alternative is, no, it's everything's fine.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that.
No.
So somebody has to be an adult, which I don't think anybody is, because politicians don't seem to be adults to me, because they seem to be wordsmiths. Well,
they're talking to their base. That's it.
Right. But somebody has to admit that we need to change something.
Okay. So I'd say we're probably you're probably more to the right and I'm more to the left on this topic.
Right.
But we're probably center on this. I do think that there is a climate, I don't think it's a climate emergency. I definitely think that there's climate
crisis.
Low-level crisis. Let's say there is a low-level crisis.
DEFCON what?
I definitely think, say for DEFCON, between DEFCON 1 and 5, I say we're DEFCON 2.5. Okay? I don't think that it's as crazy as everybody says it is.
Okay.
I do think that we need
Why? Why don't you think that?
Because I live here. I live in the world. I see with my own eyes and my own skin and the temperature of the outdoors. And I know I don't see the finer details of like bugs dying and animals and all that stuff. But you can just find the science any way you want it. You can find the science for a fringe no matter what.
I get it.
The problem is the media only puts on the fringes. We're listening to. But there are adults in the room. There are people who are saying, let's chill. There are people saying, okay, let's do this. But here's what I'm saying. Go back to Trudeau. This cap and whatever he wants to, he wants to charge you for all your thing, right? Mm. He's a hypocrite in two ways. One, he says, you know, we're going to, you know, they called him out of his two airplanes that he has to fly everywhere. He's like, well, we're paying the carbon credits for this. No, you're not. I'm paying your carbon credit for that.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not paying anything.
Right.
If he would have said, look, I'm going to come out of my pocket for the carbon credits on this, people would have, then you can't say anything. But he's not paying his carbon credits.
Carbon credits is money, right?
It is.
You pay? Well, money's not refreezing the ice caps.
Well, they think they're going to repurpose that money towards...
Yeah, I get it.
You know, and if they did, it would be awesome, but they're not going to.
No, because it just goes into the...
But here's the issue. We're going to get taxed even more. Over the next... if Trudeau stays in, and I doubt he will, we're going to be... By the time he's done his thing in 4 years, we're going to... Gas is from... Let's say it's on average right now, $1.13. Ish, mm-hmm. It's now going to be on average $1.25 on average, and then high in $1.40s.
Right.
Out in BC right now, it's something like $1.70. I can't afford that, man. Like, it's just, It's insane how much we're being taxed, and then the groceries are going to go up, and they already have, and everything else is going to go up. Mm-hmm. This whole, look at this. This is the way I'm seeing it, and this is what the science says. Canada has more trees eating CO2 than anything else. We are at a deficit of CO2. We do not add to the CO2 of the world, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe, and if we do, let's say we do. Let's say it's 1%, okay? Mm-hmm. Greta's here in Edmonton talking to us. Why are you talking to us? Go over to China. Go to where they are polluting. Right. We're not the problem. If Canada literally went zero or carbon neutral, it would have zero effect in the world. Zero.
Yeah, but that's where I think we need to be leaders then. And we need to be leaders out there to talking.
Who? We already are leaders.
But I guess.
We already are. We already are the leaders in like clean energy. We're the leaders in all these other things like electric cars in the US. Like basically I'm saying we're the same as the US. We already are setting, like we left the Paris Accord or whatever it's called, or the thing. If you look at the leaders of the world of developed countries, we are a leader. I'm not saying we're the best of it, but we're not. We're not polluting and throwing like we just can't. Literally, Canada is so full of trees and that eats CO2. Even if we got rid of if we went plus neutral or plus whatever carbon, we went carbon positive,
yeah,
whatever it is that you call that, we would have no effect on the world's environment. The biggest people who add to the, it's everybody, yes, the US, China. It's third world countries who have nothing in place for that stuff. And she's over here talking to us like we're the problem. And it's because it's an election. That's the problem. That's what pisses me off.
Sure.
It has nothing to do with anything, but it's an election. They're trying to make it a climate crisis because right now they're like, what about my kids? Like even Ryan Reynolds, who I love, comes out and says, I want my kid to enjoy this woods that we're standing in. I'm like, I guarantee you in 50 years where you're standing, it's still going to be there. It's still going to be trees. What do they think? I really want to know what's going to, I know that it's tinfoil, but really the fringes. What do you think is going to happen in 12 years? Is the world going to explode? Is it going to be so hot we can't even be here anymore?
I don't think it's that. I think it becomes displacement of population. Because water rises, right?
Yeah.
It's also when you talk about greenhouse gases, it you get to a point where if the temperature rises so much, then you start this compound temperature rising, right? Like where it's the earth can't cool itself anymore. So that's the scare tactics for sure. And
I don't know if it's tactics, so maybe they're right, but isn't that but some people are saying that's just the way that the world and organisms do this. That's what is supposed to happen.
But that's easy to say if you don't want to
change anything.
If you don't want to admit to it so that you can keep going with your lifestyle. So that's,
I mean. Although, you know, and I'm saying if there's something I could do to help, I'm going to do it. You know, I'm not going to say no and F you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I bought an electric car, I have a hybrid. I do that because I want to save on fuel, not because I want to save the world, but I think there's a good side effect. Imagine 80% of the vehicles on the road are carbon neutral. Like, that's crazy. Yeah. Like, it would. I do agree that it would, because if you've ever been to downtown Toronto or anywhere else, Hamilton, it's smog city. It's still, we have major pollution city centers in this country that are like that, but imagine the U.S. is 300 times more than that. China's 4,000 or 5,000 times
population,
more
population, right? Like,
so it's not us. I don't think we're the problem. I get that we have to say, but again, even if we were carbon neutral, who's going to be like, oh, Canada did it. Let's do that. No one gives a rat's ass what we do. Right. No one cares. We have no political power in the world as it is. Hmm. We have 37 million people in this country. The same amount that are in California. We have literally, if you think about the power we have as a country, we have none. We're the little, like this little stepbrother that wants to play with his big brother USA. and he's like, USA's like, beat it, punk. That's who we are. We're nobody.
Right.
And that sounds really terrible. I know it's hard to say, but that's kind of a hot topic.
Again, I just feel like it's okay. So because of that, do we just say nothing's wrong? I don't think so.
I do think we say something's wrong, but I don't think we fringe either way. And that's the problem because we always fringe either way. Well, not we do, but people. Stop saying it's going to be 12 years. If they're, and a lot of them are speaking points, it's like we're already too far gone. So we're already too far gone. What are you going to do now? If you literally feel that that's the truth, then what could you do anyway? There's this term in pilots called what's it called
Point of no return.
Point of no return. If we're already there, like some people are saying we are, then what's the point? Let's just enjoy it. Let's eat some steaks. Let's fire some carbon into space. I'm saying we got a lot of smart people. We're going to come up with a solution soon that's going to be really fast anyway.
I just think roll over and die is such a crappy way to
go. Don't roll over and die, but at the same time, let's be smart and let's let adults take over the conversation at some point and like really, really talk about it. Bring out the most trusted climate scientists or end scientists in the world and like let's hear what they have to say. Not the fringes who are being paid by certain companies to say what they need to say, but literally bring in five from each, center and left, center to the right, center to the left, and let's talk about it. But they will never do that.
But a decent conversation where people aren't just mudslinging, which is what every conversation
I would pay to see
to
a debate between five climate scientists who are center to left, between center to right, and just talk about it. Imagine that.
Center to left, center to right, too, would be probably a decent conversation, which I would appreciate.
Yeah, but they don't do that because it doesn't make money. Who wants to hear that?
I do. I want to hear it. I want to hear an educated conversation.
Sure. Well, the media doesn't think anybody wants
to
hear it.
I know.
Anyway, what else is hot topics right now? What's going on? I know with U.S. politics are going for fiery right now. They're fiery. Dude, fiery. Trump, okay, here's the thing.
I say this.
If Trump gets in 2020, S is going to hit the fan, bro. Like, Democrats are going to die. They're going to, like, sue the world for, like, Trump being in because they're going to be so sad. Imagine how many people were so upset that he got in the first time. The people were screaming at the sky, all those people. it's going to be pandemonium. If Trump gets impeached, there's going to be a civil war. There's going to be a micro civil war. There will be. Watch. Yep. Because guys like Beto O'Rourke and all these people are saying, if I get president, we're taking your guns. And he's doing it. He's like, we're going to come to your house. We're going to take your guns if you don't give them to us. That's going to be a civil war right there. That's a Second Amendment civil war. It's not going to happen. It's going to be crazy if they try to take your guns.
They're laying on that Second Amendment stuff.
A lot of the school shootings and everything that's going on right now, they need to talk about it. And I'm not saying they don't. They do need to talk about it. But here's the thing. If Trump gets voted out, I don't think anything's going to happen. Only two big things are going to happen. He's going to get voted in and Democrats are going to go crazy. Antifa, everybody's going to freak. The cities are going to burn, man. It's going to be insane. If he gets impeached, same thing. Republicans are going to freak for a long time and then it's going to be fine. But if he gets voted out normally, naturally, whatever, I think it's going to be like, okay, that's Democrat. Because Republicans generally aren't going to be sitting there screaming at the sky.
Right.
Right. That doesn't happen on that side.
Let's see what happens. They'll start complaining about the next
guy.
Then
they get a new guy. Exactly. Yeah. So the only great outcome for the U.S., unfortunately, not unfortunately, but the only great outcome for the U.S. is a Democrat gets voted in right. And unfortunately, it's probably going to be someone like, it's not going to be Bernie Sanders at all. It's going to be Warren, if anybody.
Yeah.
It's going to be Elizabeth Warren.
Wonder if they'll have that.
And here's the thing. When Trump first got in, I remember talking to my friend Renee, and she hates Trump with all her heart. And I was like, Renee, she's like, why do you want to see Trump in? I'm like, I want to see Trump win because I want to see what happens. And look what's happened. Look at what has happened in the world. So Trump will say something like, recently he pulled troops out of Syria or whatever. Which is generally, for people who are, Democrats are generally peacemaking people. If you think about Democrats, they're like easy on criminals and they want peace, right?
Right.
Generally, that's the way it goes. He pulls troops out and it's the worst thing he's ever done in his presidency. I'm like, there's nothing he can do. It's just, there's no narrative he could ever speak because everybody hates him no matter what he does. Right. And this is the truth of the whole thing. If he gets voted in 2020 and if it does happen, it's going to be a landslide. It's going to be massive victory. It's going to implode over there, dude. He's going to have martial law. Something's going to happen. Mark my words right now. I watched a documentary, I was listening to some podcast. And there's this thing called, and I think we talked about this a little bit. There's people called super predictors. And it's a weird thing. Look it up. It's really cool.
Super predictor.
Super predictors are people who who don't even know why they can predict things. It's just they see the way the world works. They see data, the way that they ingest data. And they can make predictions based on the data they ingest. They're called super predictors.
And they don't even know why?
They don't realize it. They don't realize it. I think I'm going to look it up. I'm pretty sure I'm a micro super predictor.
Okay.
And only because I can see patterns emerge where some people might not see patterns emerge. I called the Trump win last time. I'm calling it this time. Trump's going to win in 2020.
Wow.
He's going to win. And it's going to ramp up really hard for the next year.
When's that election?
Next October. Next November.
Next November.
Yeah. So it's the year till it. It's going to be crazy. It's going to ramp up really hard.
Because they campaign forever, don't they?
They campaign for 2 years. That's we campaign for like 3.5 weeks. It's crazy how much money goes in there. To win the presidency costs $1 billion. So, and here's my super prediction right now. It's going to be Trump versus Warren. Warren's going to bring on Sanders as a vice president.
Okay.
So it's going to be Warren Sanders, vice presidency versus Trump Pence. And Trump's going to win by a bigger margin than he won last time.
Wow.
Okay, that's my super prediction. My super prediction in Canada is that it's going to be a minority conservative government.
Okay.
Because the NDP and liberals are going to team up.
Right.
That's what's going to happen. But you see these super predictions based on listening to the news. And like, so you, it's really interesting to see. I'm not saying I'm a super predictor. I'm just saying sometimes I get some things right and I don't even know how. Okay. So I'm floating my own boat there. Anyway. So anything else? What else is hot right now? Anything cool? What's good? Anything good on your end?
You know, mine's quite simple today. I was thinking, what do I like? I like Chicago mixed popcorn.
Is that the one with cheese and like?
And caramel corn.
That's it? Is it good? Is that good?
It's delicious.
Is it really? You've
never had that?
No.
What is the matter with
you? I'm like,
you?
Why are you putting cheese and sugar together? It doesn't make sense to me.
It's amazing.
Okay, I'm going to try it now. I'm going to get some tonight.
Get it from Costco. It's a huge bag.
Oh, I let my Costco membership lapse.
I'll get you one.
You got one? Do you have Costco?
I got Costco.
Okay.
But I'm going to get you Chicago mix.
Is it really that good though?
Some dynamite.
Because what I'm on right now is Pringles sour cream and onion.
Yeah, that's good.
Nothing touches sour cream and onion Pringles for me.
It's good.
All right.
Ruffle sour cream and onion is pretty good.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Those are also really good. You're right. I'm going to get some today.
And I also like Belgian monk beer. I told you that earlier.
Yeah, you told me that today. Jeff's a beer connoisseur, I'd say. You like beer. You make your own?
I make my own.
You had the little snub-nosed beer bottles today. They were cute. Is that what they're called? Snub-nosed?
Well, that's just what those come in. That's that monk beer, like from Belgium.
So Jeff's on the simple things. He's like, the simple things make you happy right now.
That's what I feel today.
Yeah.
Free hot tubs.
Yeah. Who doesn't like a free hot tub?
Dead squirrels. Chicago mix.
And a snub-nosed.
And beers made by monks.
It's you know what? I think there's something to be said for what you're saying right now. Like the simple things sometimes we overlook, especially as Christmas is coming, because I get excited. The simple things like watching a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Like with the family. Like tonight, the simple thing, I might just light up the backyard fireplace and have some s'mores because the kids love it and it's simple.
You got a backyard fireplace?
I got a little one of those little.
Okay.
You know what it's called? What's that called?
Don't tell me about it. It's illegal.
Don't tell Jeff he's a firefighter. I'm just going to put a little fire in there, Jeff. Just a little one. Yeah. It's under my pergola, so it's metal. It's illegal. But you're right. You know what? The simple things for me, and I'm very excited about upcoming Christmas and like launching the Christmas lights early and putting the tree up early and like doing the things with my family that are fun, like going to the pumpkin patch. Like let's take a step back here, and all the dads listening this week, two challenges. Make out with your wife for no reason.
Make out.
And do something simple that you love. And just think about it. Go for a hike. How many times have I gone for a hike this year? Never. How many times have I gone for a hike in the last 10 years? Never. Let's just go for a walk.
You go for a hike?
I want to go for a hike. Not a crazy hike. You know, I got a 5-year-old. Do something. He's going to want to be like dragged up there. But go for a nice walk somewhere. Today would have been beautiful for that. Today
was gorgeous.
So like, and we did. We went for a walk in the pumpkin patch. Do something. So make out with your wife or your spouse or whatever. Make out with whoever for no reason. And go do something simple, get some fresh air, and just do something you love. Go, like, what's something you haven't done in a long time? You're like, I really like doing that. Maybe it's going to an arcade. Go bowling. Go laser tagging.
Is there still arcades?
Yeah, there is.
Man, old 80s arcades are awesome.
Just do something that you haven't done. And, you know, bring your family along if you want to.
That's a good idea. Keep that relationship going, because that's another thing that we got to do.
I got a big fight today with my kid, and it's just like I'm struggling with this non-commit to anything thing as a teenager.
So you're having a hard time.
He has 2 months to decide what he's going to do. If it's a gap year, fine. But I want to know. And like he wants to be a chiropractor. Awesome. But now I have to take 2 courses. I might have to take another thing. No, doesn't want to change. He's literally making his decisions, as far as I'm concerned. Otherwise, he tells me differently based on his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And these teenagers who are making choices about college, where they go to school and everything based on their purpose that they love. And I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with that. I feel like sometimes that backfires more than it aligns.
Yeah, don't give up your future endeavors based on high school.
It's so stupid. Love. And not to say that it is, but it's just like, well, you were going to do that. Why aren't you going to do that anymore? As a parent hearing, I don't know, and just so nonchalant you don't care about it, it makes me so upset. And I'm like, look, everything we're, it's like, you think I'm trying to bug you. I'm literally trying to help you. Right. I'm trying to help you make a good choice.
You have his best interests in mind.
But they don't care.
Right. Because they want that independence, right?
Yeah. Well, it's not even that. It's just like, I'm scared. I'm scared to commit. But you have to eventually. It doesn't matter if you're scared. You're going to have to. Hasn't got his license. He wants to go to the Here's the thing. He wants to make a choice to go to the Dominican Republic with his girlfriend and her family.
Yeah.
Pay $1,500 to go on this trip.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of money. That's a choice he's going to make. But he can't make a choice about where he goes to go. He gets a free education. Free. Mm. I don't know what else to say. Throw this away.
Yeah.
Don't be an idiot. So we're getting a big fight about that. And it's rough because we don't get in a lot of fights. Rarely do we get in screaming matches. Once every 6 months.
Have you talked to him about his feelings about it? Like what he's feeling? No.
Because
it might be worth it.
Well, Kathy does. She plays the good cop, and then she gets answers, and then only when the things blow up does he then start talking. He never starts talking unless something blows up. So I don't know how else to navigate it. I don't know. We need to talk to Dr. Kirk about how to figure out. Maybe there's a conversation to have about like talking to your kids, not about bond or anything like that, but like the hard stuff, the real hard stuff.
About getting answers to questions and making big decisions.
Yeah, these hard decisions. Because I'm not saying it's not a hard decision. Decisions
can be scary, right?
Especially for Tyson.
But
decisions for him are really scary.
But how do you navigate that? Because you have to eventually.
He has to make the decision.
Otherwise, what's the alternative?
The alternative is you live at home.
Live in the basement.
Yeah.
Forever.
Not going to happen. I told him.
Or for at least 12 years until
the world implodes. When you're 18, you can make your own choices. But when you're under my roof, my rules. I told him that. I was like, you can go anywhere you want when you turn 18. That's your choice. You want to move out? That's fine. I don't want him to.
That's not your wish.
No, it's not. Of course it's not my wish. Yeah. But I'm like, look, if you're not sitting here working at McDonald's making beats. If you want to make music, fine. Well, like we even relented today. I don't want him to go to school for music because I didn't go to school for music and I'm pretty successful at it.
Right.
There's no reason to go. Take an IT degree. Get something that's going to pay you.
Right.
Something you're interested in, computers or whatever, so that you can actually use that as a fallback. Doesn't care. Mm. Although it's something to be said for like, I kind of respect that he wants to follow his dreams. He's like, he wants to play music. He wants to, you know, do that stuff. He's not a musician. The problem is that he doesn't want to be a musician, but he wants to basically be a producer. But I'm like, you need to be a musician first. So I'm like, I can see that the issues are going to be roadblocks for him. Without being a musician, he can't really produce music. Not really. It's even successful musicians, the rate of successful musicians who are really great musicians is still low. If you're not a musician, the rate of successful musicians is maybe one. And I can think of one. His name is Deadmau5. The only guy
successful
I know.
Successful producer who wasn't a musician.
He doesn't know how to play music at all. But he just drags and drops, which is different nowadays, right? You can do that. Yeah. But like it's not happening. So I'm just trying to be like, encourage him to do other things. But it didn't go well. Let's say that. It did not go well. And it sucks. I failed today. It was my fault too. It was a failure. I was a failure today. But
too bad. But
then we went to Pumpkin Patch and we tried to be all friendly.
Well, that's one thing. He didn't go though. But you can recover, right? You can start a conversation hopefully tomorrow.
I have to cool off a little bit. I do, and I don't want to like, just not even just because I want to go back in pride. It's not a pride thing. I'm not apologizing for something that I think was right. I don't think I failed as in like I need to apologize. I failed in saying, well, what do you think feeling? Because as soon as I ask that, it's like, oh, it doesn't matter what you ask.
Right.
So I got to figure it out. I got to figure another way around that. Anyway, other than that, everything's decent.
I would say that I had a small victory.
Nice.
Of self-control, if I could say that, because we had a situation. It's weird. I was like torn, so I don't know if it was because there was part of me that appreciated what my son did or whatever. Anyways, here's the situation. I was actually out at Joker, and Trish and I were out prior to that. So Trish and I were out, came home, and then I'm like, all of a sudden, I texted you. I'm like, have you seen Joker yet? You said, yeah, and I'm like, bah, now I got to see it. So I got that worked out. Anyways, Ty went out. Two things happened. One, he didn't ask to take the car, but he took it.
Ooh.
We were gone, and he left us a note saying where he was, what he was doing. He was actually really responsible.
Okay.
So that part of me appreciated that, even though I'm like, little bit of a bold step to just take the car without saying, hey, can I?
Yep.
Right? So I was torn. I'm like, part of me is a little bit pissed, but part of me is a little bit proud, right? So I had that. So I'm like, okay, stay calm. You can use that.
Yeah.
And then the second part was, once we found out he was out, okay, we didn't get mad. We didn't say, come home now. We said, you need to be home by this time. And then he wasn't home on time. And so now I'm sitting at home. I got to work the next day. I'm already staying up later than I should have because I went out to the movie and now I'm waiting, right? So I said, I texted him, where are you? Oh, sorry, lost track of time, blah, 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 blah. So again, I could be angry. He came home. I just said, glad you're home. Good night. Let him go to bed. Let a day go by. Then I came back to him and said, hey, I want to talk to you about the other night.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you for leaving us a note. I'm proud of you for doing that. Don't take the car again without asking.
Yep.
And you know what? Because I approached it that way, he's like, okay.
Yeah.
And then the second thing I said, and I said, I know you don't fully understand this because you don't have kids and you're still this. When you don't come home when I tell you you're supposed to be home, that makes me worry.
Yeah.
And then I can't go to sleep, which will in turn make me angry.
Yeah, they don't see that.
Yeah, but he actually said, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So you know what? I could have got mad at him that day when he came home and I could have like approached, I could have even tried to approach it nicely and it probably wouldn't have gone well because it was almost 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm irritable. Yeah. He was. So it was a small victory.
Good for you. That is a good victory. And a lot of parents need to do that. Take a step back. I'm actually noticing our sons specifically lately, I don't know what's happening, but they're apologizing more. They're saying taking responsibility more.
Nice.
I think partly Tyson because he wants to go to Dominican Republic so bad and he wants to keep that line open really badly because he knows that I'm not going to just toss it out for no reason.
Right.
It's going to be a big reason if he doesn't get to go. I'm not going to just for any petty. And I don't think today when I threatened it, it was petty. I'm like, you're making a choice or you're not going.
Hey, that's fair, man. Like, and I'll tell you, Ty has some ideas of what he wants to do, like a gap year and go somewhere. And we're actually, okay, you have a plan. That's good. But there's still stipulations on that.
Yeah.
You need to also do good and be set up to go back to school when you're done, right? Like this isn't the...
You can't just go for a year because then you got to figure out you got to start applying in January.
Yeah. So we said straight up, we're on board with you, provided you do what needs to be done now. Otherwise, no, it's done. And then you're redoing stuff to be in the position that you need to be in, right? So, I mean, you have to, right?
Even today, Kathy texted him and said, okay, well, then fine. What do you think? Well, let's do this. Let's make some goals. And then, you know what he came back with? He said, well, goals means that I have to do something, and if I don't do that, then I'm going to be punished for that. So even right off the top, he's already saying, if we set a goal, then there's an expectation, and if I don't meet that expectation, I get punished. Already, he's thinking he's not going to meet the goal. He's not even interested in making a goal. It's getting crazy, so we got
to
figure it out.
From outside, I'm seeing it as an excuse to avoid something scary. Yes. That's what I
think. And it's exactly, you hit the nail right on the head. He even admitted that. He's like, I'm scared of commitment. I'm scared of these big decisions.
Yeah.
You're right. But he's not even being willing to make goals, set goals, because he's like, well, I don't even want to give you that because then you're going to use it. He doesn't even want to do that. He has to. He's going to be an adult soon. This is the hardest part of being a parent is saying, well, I'm sorry, you got to make, because some kids do this naturally. I was on my own when I was 17. Mm-hmm. I lived on my own. I had my own apartment when I was 17, dude. Yeah. Like I had to grow up really fast.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if Tyson and Tristan would have stayed in the way that they were growing up, they probably would have too. But since they came on, Tyson was 11, Tristan was 6, the worries went out the window. They didn't have to worry about all that stuff anymore. They didn't have to grow up so fast anymore. So, and then they became, and maybe it's our fault, sheltered. Sheltered from all the danger.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
They didn't have to worry about it anymore because maybe their brains, because of the trauma, shut that off now. They're like, well, I don't have to worry about the danger anymore. And now I'm the other way. And I don't want to do anything.
Mm.
So, and we're talking about that.
What about instead of goals, instead of like it being, okay, this is a goal that you have to achieve, what about just what are the options to at least put like, even if it's not a goal, but like 5 possible goals?
Yeah.
Or something. Like,
or like 5 possible. Where Kathy said, why don't you ask him what he doesn't want to do?
That's an approach to
eliminate it. I know what he does want to do.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, fine. Music is great. If you go to Sheridan, which is a great school for that type of stuff. I want him, if he's going to do this, I want him in the right school.
Yeah.
Cause if he can do production, he can work for movies. He can do a lot of stuff with it, right? It's not just making beats, but if he knows how to engineer, recording engineering, he needs a lot of money in that if you get into the right one. So I want him to go to the right school. But I feel like this whole girlfriend thing is going to throw everything through a loop because if he's away from her and doesn't get to see her every day, because that's what he does. He sees her or he goes to sleep.
Right.
It's crazy. So we're navigating it all. This is the hardest part of being parents so far as I'm concerned. When your kids are ready to go to college, this is stressful for a lot of people, parents included, because you want them to make good choices. You want them, you understand what debt means. You understand having a good job and having money is important because it is important. It doesn't make you happy, but having money and having a great career, even when you're young, it can be so freeing to do whatever you want. And I had no money until I was like 30, dude. Not even that, 35. Yeah. I literally lived paycheck to paycheck from the moment I was 17 until I was 35. Mm-hmm. And I don't want my kids to do that. I want them to be successful as possible right away. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's not a good thing.
No, I mean, it comes with a certain security that alleviates some stressors for sure, yeah. Right?
So yeah. Anyway, that's what we're dealing with. But if, as parents, anybody out there, you know, tweet at us, Facebook us, because if you've gone through this, tell me what you did. Anyway, Jeff, how can they find us?
Check us out on Twitter. Check us out on Instagram. Check us out on Facebook. And it's all at the Dad Challenge Podcast.
Yeah, Dad Challenge Podcast, whatever it's called, .com.
No new videos out there on YouTube, but you can watch the old ones because they're still good.
Maybe we got to come up with something. We got to find some time to make one.
You're so busy now.
One day, though. If we can take a Saturday, we can get her done.
We make good videos.
We do. There's got to be some good songs out there now. Maybe let's do another Christmas one. It's coming up soon.
We got to relaunch the Christmas one because that last one was good, and I don't know why people didn't listen to it. They should be listening to that all Christmas. Dip.
We're going to make a better Christmas one this year. What song should we do?
I don't know.
I like, let's do Mariah Carey, or we can do some, let's do a classic.
Okay.
Let's do a classic Christmas song. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe we picked the wrong song.
How is that not a classic, though? It's from Sound of Music.
Sound of Music is not a Christmas movie.
People watch it at Christmas
time. I watch it at Christmas, but most people don't.
Yes, they do. When do people watch it?
I disagree.
When do people watch it?
I watch it at Christmas. I think people watch it at Thanksgiving.
So wouldn't you not say that even makes it more of a classic? If it's not a Christmas movie and people watch it at Christmas time?
It might be.
How did that break through?
I don't know, but we need to pick a better song.
I don't think that's logic. But,
but yeah, you can follow us and check out our website. We want you to and reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram because a lot of people are shouting out, asking questions, and we love that. Well, if you want to come on our podcast, we got a guy who wants to come talk about his kids. I don't even care if you don't have anything. Just come talk to us.
And if you suck, we'll cut you out.
Yeah, we just won't even play.
It doesn't matter.
We'll just chat and be like, cool, yeah, man. And then we won't talk to you ever again. We'll just ghost you. You're going to be totally right ghosted.
But it'll be okay because you'll love it. Yeah. You'll be like, they ghosted me. That's yeah. Cool.
If you're ghosted by the Dad Challenge, it's still better than nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, so remember, December 23rd, Dad Challenge Podcast Day. Let's work. Let's get this going, man. When it comes that day, we're podcasting that day.
If it's not on the calendar, what are we going to do?
Put it in your family calendar, please.
You want to put it on the haircut calendar?
Put it in the haircut calendar. All right. We're podcasting that day.
Okay.
The day before Christmas Eve, our day is the Dad Challenge Podcast Day.
Okay. I don't care if it's, what if I work?
You don't work. Check right now.
I don't think I work. I might work. I don't know.
Don't work. I'll come to you.
I don't work.
Yes. Okay. Official Dad Challenge Podcast Day is December 23rd, Monday. We're going to podcast that day. Be ready to send us gifts and things.
Oh, yeah. Please. You should send us gifts. Yeah.
Gifts are good.
Send us gifts prior so we can open them on the...
Can you give us some bar height chairs that don't squeak, please?
Who's squeaking? Is it you?
It's me, I think. I thought it was you the whole time. So I'm like, why is it keep moving?
I was like trying to sit so still going, where's the squeak?
I'm like, Jeff, stop moving. It was me the whole time. All right, we love you. We'll talk to you next time.
Peace. See ya.